Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the
air. Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is
Tucker
on.
Tucker wades into the Christian nationalism debate, and his guest offers an interesting and helpful observation. Today's sanitized Christianity would not tolerate Jesus' mean tweets. Does freedom and liberty come from the U.S. Constitution? But before we dive into all of that, there's so much in front of me. I thought I'd just blow through some of this with some what I call touch and goes, you know, to keep you in the know. The Los Angeles Police Department's new $437 million high-tech headquarters, the phones haven't worked for weeks. Maybe they ran out of money and couldn't pay their Comcast bill. Leader of the Columbia University pro-Hamas encampment said, and I quote, "Zionists don't deserve to live." Biden's statement on the economy, April 25, 2024, quote, "The American economy remains strong with continued steady and stable growth," end quote. 3% growth over the last year. Huh, really? Well, here's an article from Fox Business. Layoffs surge in 2024. And here are the companies axing jobs, linked in my notes. Dollar Tree's closing 600 family dollar stores this year. CVS is closing 900 stores. Walgreens closing 150. Outback Steakhouse closes 41 restaurant locations. UPS plans to cut 12,000 jobs. eBay cuts 1,000. Microsoft, 10,000. Expedia, another 1,500. Another tech company, Cisco, cuts 4,000. And Apple axes 600 California jobs. Regal cuts. Are you ready for this? 40,000 jobs, so they're the winner. Foot Locker closes 400 stores through 2026. Macy's closing 150 stores, and that's all I had time to run down. Friend, tens of thousands of jobs on the chopping block called the Biden two-teeth Kamala economy. I might need to explain the Biden two-teeth thing. Biden, I'm taking it as short for Bidenticulate, two-teeth. Or two processes that work together to accomplish a certain objective. In this case, to feed his appetite or his love of money. One tooth is treason. The other tooth is treason. Yeah, they're twins. Biden, his name, a one-word description of the man. Okay. I agree. That was droll. A great economy, very stable, steady growth. Really? In Biden's mind, you know, the same one that thinks his uncle was eaten by Papua New Guinea cannibals in World War II, who repeatedly and falsely claimed he was arrested protesting for civil rights, who drove an 18-wheeler, a tractor trailer, and got his operator's license in one summer, and all sorts of fantasies that roll around in that sin-damaged brain of his. Gas, bread, meat, housing, goods, you know. Listen, you're living in the same economy that I am. Inflation rates are reminiscent of the Carter years. You weren't there? Oh, well, now you're getting it, only without the gas lines. That would be a little too obvious and hard on Biden's reelection bid. But let Biden get back in to finish the job. He'll have you in bread lines. Teddy bear Bill Barr is talking tough. Oh, what a tough guy. He says Jack Smith and Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg and Letitia James should be arrested for election interference. This is the same guy who refused to do anything about election interference in 2020. This is the guy who was directed to check in on election interference, who told Trump, "Oh, I'm taking care of that. Don't you worry." But then instructed his subordinates to do nothing. He expressly ordered all allegations of election fraud to be sent to him. And then he did nothing. Barr found no evidence of widespread election. He didn't look. The Georgia fiasco, the thousands of ballots dropped off in the middle of the night in Pennsylvania, the Arizona debacle, the proven fraud that took place in Wisconsin. 2,000 mules, anyone? This man is an insider operative for the deep state, and now he's snaking to get placed on Trump's team just in case Trump wins. He wants to get all in on the election fraud thing. Uh-huh. The one that's going on right here in front of our eyes. Is he seeking repentance? Has Judas cast his silver to the feet of his buyers and he's now seeking redemption? No, more likely it's Barr trying to position himself to be brought into Trump's inner circle again, just in case he wins. I smell a swamp snake slithering about. How about you? Here you go. First Texas and now Oklahoma shows the way forward for handling the border crisis. Texas has reduced illegal crossings by 70% when they decided to take over their own border. Now, Oklahoma has passed legislation to criminalize being in Oklahoma illegally. Yeah, it's a crime. And you'll be booted out of the state. Let's see, Oklahoma. You can't send them to Texas. Abbott won't like that. That wouldn't be very nice to him. He's doing a good job with regard to this issue. Maybe Arkansas. Now, I don't know. Huckabee Sanders, he might not go for it. But that leaves Missouri, Kansas, New Mexico, and Colorado. So you have plenty of choices. And I say Colorado would be the best bet. Let's go ahead and annoy them. New Mexico, too, by the way. Anyway, remember when Schumer, scummer, encouraged protesters to gather at the home of Justice Kavanaugh? Guess what happened when a pack of pro-Hamas protesters gathered near his home? Yeah, they got arrested. It's a binary justice system, friend. They don't. It's all non-binary until it comes to justice. It's binary justice in occupied D.C. One set of rules for the elite Marxist globalist insiders, part of the gang that's taking over America and bringing her down. You get one set of rules, everybody else another. Especially if you're pro-God-fearing America as founded loving patriots. Okay, let's see any more touch and goes here. Look at this. Yikes. Andrew Bridgen, a United Kingdom parliamentarian, asks his fellows in parliament if they are okay with the discovery that British hospitals were injecting midazolam into elderly patients who were suffering from COVID. Now, this drug restricts respiratory function. It's a drug used in the death cocktail injected into prisoners meeting the end of their death sentencing. You know, after their last meal. So what do you think about that? Are they helping these elderly along the way here? Well, that's what Mr. Bridgen is asking. And while we're talking about COVID, Fauci's experiencing Isaiah's prophecy concerning the wicked. Quote, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, end quote. He's been grilled for 2 days here lately, recently, about the now infamous emails that surfaced, revealing his duplicity and his complicity in the whole COVID cover-up. It was all hush-hush, you know, behind closed doors. And I wonder why they didn't do it publicly. I understand they were politely bearing down hard on his former testimony. You know, one wonders, that Fauci cut a deal, right? He comes clean in exchange for some reduced sentencing or something like that. I don't know. I would say no mercy on that guy. Anyway, it's not likely in any event because that Jesuit won't betray his masters. He knows the penalty for that is to be Epstein'd. Anyway, I need to finish my touch and goes here. So one more look. And we find the need for a public service announcement to all of my audience. I must alert you that FBI Director Wray warns of a coming coordinated attack on the homeland. And here's his statement. Quote, foreign terrorists, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and their adherents, have renewed calls for attacks against Jewish communities here in the United States and across the West in statements and propaganda. The foreign terrorists' threat and the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, like the ISIS-K attack that we saw at the Russia Concert Hall a couple of weeks ago, is now increasingly concerning. October 7 and the conflict that's followed will feed a pipeline of radicalization and mobilization for years to come, end quote. ISIS and Al-Qaeda? Really? He's dragging up those old bones? I mean, no Ray, man. Yeah, think about that one. not Hamas? Not Hezbollah? We have a terrorist watch list, right? What's it used for? To watch them cross our border? To wave them across, perhaps, like the Capitol Police waved in the quote-unquote insurrectionists. Wray also warns of cyber attacks from the CCP, Russia, and North Korea. No, Wray. Okay, I'm not doing that very well. You got to think about it to get the point. Ray actually said that the CCP, oh, there you go, were throwing everything they've got against the rule of law world. All right. When you learn how to listen to these snakes, you understand that their judgment is pronounced out of their own wicked mouths. Jesus put it this way, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Luke 19:22. If you have ears to hear, you know these people are pronouncing their own judgment and declaring their own guilt almost every time they open their foul mouths. For example, when NBC Lester Holt asks Ray, quote, Trump has said that if he's reelected, he would use the FBI and the DOJ to go after his political opponents. He did it with a straight face. I watched it. And then he followed up with the question, would you be a party to that? To which Ray responds with blarney about the FBI always only follows the rules and the laws and enforces those without fear or favor. Oh, I'm glad it makes my squirrel happy. Faithful to our core values, he said. Now, I watched it. Ray had a subtle smirk, I believe I discerned, upon his otherwise placid face, but did not betray any signs that any kind of conscience is operative in that black heart of his. These are lovers of darkness, my friends, and that's because their deeds are evil. By the way, that's Jesus, John 3:17-21. Okay? All right. Okay, that finishes up the touch and goes. When I get back from the break, we'll dig in to some really substantive conversation. My dear friends, I want to introduce Chris Cucciera. He's called Coach. Hello, I'm Pastor Scheidbach. I'm your brain masseur, and I have the privilege to visit with Coach Chris. Chris Cucciera is the leading voice on health and fitness on the Central Coast. Chris, welcome. How did you get started in this business?
Well, great question, Jerry. In a world today where there's the internet, you know, everybody's a life coach, a health coach. And believe it or not, most of them did a weekend course, paid $400, and all of a sudden they become an expert. Right. So, you know, what gives me the right or the credibility for the community that actually came up with that tagline that you started the interview with is the leading voice on the Central Coast for health, fitness, and wellness. Well, let me take you back 45 years ago is where it all started. In the late 70s, early 80s, my first entree into health and fitness was competitive bodybuilding. Now, one of the things that people don't really understand, they see the outward side of the body when people are getting ready for competition, but what they don't understand is the discipline that you have to have when it comes to eating and training. So during my bodybuilding days, I learned so much about nutrition, because our bodies maintain muscle and get down to 3-4% body fat. And when you go through that kind of training, you have to be very scientific in what you eat and the nutrition you take in and what you don't take in. And so that really got me on a self-taught journey of learning the education and the science side of nutrition and how to change the human body. And over the years, I went from a bodybuilding career of 10 years. I learned a lot. And then after I got out of bodybuilding, I started working with people in general overall health. And because of what I learned in my bodybuilding days about the human body, science about nutrition, and how to really take somebody from a stay-at-home mom that just had a baby to an elite athlete, I was helping everybody there and in between. And so nothing beats real life experience. And that's how I really differentiate myself from everyone else. I've probably worked with over 10,000 people in the last 40 years and have really helped them experience breakthrough in all areas of their life. My office is in Pismo Beach, so the best way to contact me is through phone, and that's area code 805-202-2077. And that's my office. You can call. I offer a free one-hour consultation. So when you call that number, just talk to my staff, tell them you heard us interviewed here with Jerry, and they'll book a free consultation for you. And I look forward to meeting you in person and helping you experience breakthrough.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Tucker invited Pastor Doug Wilson, Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, and writer of Mere Christendom, The Case for Bringing Christianity Back into Modern Culture, to discuss what is Christian nationalism. Tucker's opening statements were very pointed and direct, as per usual, after pointing out that Biden has nothing to recommend himself to voters and that there is not one measurement in which Biden's administration improved anything in America, but instead, by every measurement, everything, even America's life expectancy, has gone down. Tucker points out the obvious. Biden can't run on his record or for anything, so he has to run against something. And what has he chosen to run against? Well, Tucker says he has chosen to run against Christianity. Now, we see that. It's obvious to us. Of course, as Tucker pointed out, you're not going to say you're running against Christianity. So instead, you frame it as against Christian nationalism. And he makes an astute observation, quote, which is a way of making Christianity seem like a threat to the country rather than the principle on which it was founded. And of course, Biden, two-tooth traitor, has the full cooperation of the government propaganda media machine, the Democratic Party, and much of the Republican Party. By the way, apparently even the Republican Speaker has gained favor with Pelosi and Schumer and is taking photo ops with Der Biden Meister himself. So anyway, the pastor did what I consider to be a fair job of explaining Christian nationalism, but I think he fell a little short. Not being critical, but I'm trying to teach and help you understand something. I certainly have no desire to undermine him. I support him. I'm with him. Here's a pastor taking the hits and in the heat for taking a stand in this war. I admire him. And he's standing with us in the fight. He referred to Stephen Wolfe's book, The Case for Christian Nationalism. So I will assume that this pastor believes the book defines the term more fully. I'll get the book and I'll read it. I'll get back to you on it and let you know what I think. Pastor Wilson then references the statement by Heidi Shubaya on MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes. That's something I brought to your attention a few shows back. And this on a segment, How Christian Nationalism Could Shape a Second Trump Term. And she there on that show defined Christian nationalism as not Christian. She said that's something very different. And she went on to explain the difference. Christian nationalists believe our rights do not come from man or from a government, from the Supreme Court or Congress or whatever, that they don't even come from our Constitution or any human authority, but they come from God. Now, she points out this is coming from men, you know, who are telling us what God says. So she's implying that it is a man-made system or a man-contrived notion. Now, it's obvious she really does think she's got this thing sewed up. You can view her statement here, and I have the link in my notes. The responses to her statement have pushed her into a corner, and she's clearly looking for a way out. I mean, thousands upon thousands of Christians, hundreds of thousands, have said effectively, well, hey, if that's Christian nationalism, count me in. Friends, it's a statement taken out of our Declaration of Independence, right? All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. She, that is Heidi, effectively defined this scary, evil movement as inclusive of every founder of this country because they all subscribe to the same belief. Our rights come from God. And by the way, her definition is spot on. That is what, at a fundamental level, differentiates them and us. But she has since begun to backpedal. She was surprised at the response. She does not like being the main recruiter for Christian nationalism, for a national Christian political engagement. He makes an excellent point that what this has done is it gives us something we can actually talk about. We can actually give an answer to that. I mean, he points out, how do you answer slurs like you're a racist or you're a white supremacist, junk like that? Which is what he says he usually gets called. I know what he means. Same thing. Even though everyone who knows you knows it isn't true, the only answer you can give in a public debate situation is, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, and you get stuck in this briar patch of no, I'm not. so that, unless you're very well known and surrounded by hundreds of friends willing to step up and contradict the accusation, well, you're defenseless. Other than to ask for a definition of their charge and then insist they show proof of their accusation, which is a pretty effective way to handle it. But what this does is it gets us into rabbit chasing, running in circles around an argument that doesn't go anywhere. But if they want to engage us on a question like the validity of the Declaration of Independence, bring it on. I mean, let's roll. So if I'm a Christian and I love my nation, then I'm a Christian nationalist. Well, you see, there's a problem with that because someone can self-describe as a Christian who loves this nation and yet not believe in the primary tenet of Christian nationalism, and that is that we should stand in defense of our Declaration of Independence, that our rights come from God, not from man. I'm assuming that Heidi probably considers herself to be a Christian of one sort or another. In fact, she completely differentiates what she considers to be Christian from belief that our rights come from God. So you see the problem with saying, well, I'm a Christian, I love my nation, so I'm a Christian nationalist. Someone can call themselves a Christian and love the nation and not believe that God ordains presently all power and directs how it's supposed to be used, and that men who use it otherwise than he directed are not acting in real legitimate authority because they're not acting under God. Because he ordains the power, not the man who has it. But if somebody abuses the power, like if a father who has authority, a real legitimate authority role in the life of his child, but if he abuses that role, he's not acting with divine authority or approbation. I mean, it's real obvious. Anyway, the pastor states that we don't want to resist these people in the name of Christ, well, because we don't want to launch a bunch of religious wars. It's a trap. Don't step into it. We certainly do resist them in the name of Jesus Christ. See, here's what's lacking in what I receive from this dear brother, whom I would consider to be a friend in the fight, is to summarize Christian nationalism as, in fact, centering on only one question: is there a God above human government? Which he does that very, he articulates that very well. When you remove God, government takes his place. Amen. And the God that steps in is invariably going to be Satan, who encourages man to believe he can be God. You know, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil, going back to the original temptation. And he did not get into it farther, but likely believes Satan is operating, is active in the children of disobedience, trying to push this forward, this whole humanist secularist idea that removes God so Satan can step in as God. But Christians cannot go forward in their battle against this devil without having submitted to God and going forward in the name of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. It seems to me this pastor is trying to avoid or sidestep the idea of a political movement that is engaging on a political level in the name of Christ. But that's a mistake. Everything a Christian does, they must do and should do in the name of Christ. Christian nationalists must be identified as a movement of Christ's ambassadors, right, for his kingdom authority, representing him in this world to all rulers of the earth. Jesus Christ is Lord, and his word is truth, and his spirit is the administrator of his kingdom in the world today. Jesus said his truth is the source of freedom. The truth will make you free. And his spirit is the source of liberty. Where the spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. So that's the source of freedom and liberty. It doesn't come from a piece of paper called the Constitution. That document is very important, but it merely acknowledges what is true. That is, that our freedoms and our liberty come from God, just as our rights do. Now, I'll offer more tomorrow in my pulpit, but the fact is our rights come from God, not just anyone's deity, not anyone's idea of God. Our rights don't come from Allah or Buddha. I know Buddhists are not comfortable referring to Buddha as a god, but they worship him as a god nevertheless. Anyway, or any one of the thousands of Indian gods in Hinduism. Our rights come from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He is the God, the Creator, who endowed to us our inalienable rights. We know who he is. Freedom only comes from the truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our liberties come from Christ's Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A Christian nationalist, if Christian, subscribes to Cromwell's famous motto, "No king but Christ, who rose again from the dead and declared all power, exousia, authority, right to rule." That's the word that's translated power there. "All power is given unto me," he said, "in heaven and in earth." But what sort of Christianity? I mean, it must be a Christianity that represents Christ. And again, you're going to be in church tomorrow to hear me flesh this out. The reason we can't get Christians in public office who have the courage to stand against the devil's crowd and call them out and speak authoritatively the truth that makes us free in the power of the Spirit that brings and secures liberty is that most Christians today have a very distorted view of who Jesus is. And I've only got time to kind of touch on this. If Jesus were here today and tweeted, let's say, X-filed or X-posted, the very same things he said when he was here publicly and personally to individuals he was looking at, most Christians would not want to be publicly identified with him today. That's how wussed down the church has become. Imagine Jesus posting any one of the following on his social media. He called people hypocrites to their faces. So imagine him writing the name of so-and-so and saying, "You're a hypocrite." And saying to them, "You know what you do? You draw nigh to me with your mouth and you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And what if he identified an entire party as hypocrites who shut up the kingdom of God against men? He openly mocked those who make long prayers for show, who feed themselves on widows' houses. He publicly rebuked people as being whitewashed graves full of dead men's bones. He often warned people personally to their face that they were going to go to hell, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. He called King Herod a fox, and it wasn't a compliment. He told Pilate, "You don't have any authority over me except what my father allows." He told people to their faces they were of their father, the devil. Tweet that one. He warned entire cities that they were condemned to a fate worse than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. He once answered a question in which he said, "If I answer the way you want me to, well, then I'd be a liar like you." Right, listen, he twice took a whip and went into the temple of God, swinging it, turning over the tables and demanding the money changers leave the house of God. And he chastised them for turning his father's house into a den of thieves. Shall I go on? Do you get the picture? Jesus was almost nothing like the squishy, spineless, wishy-washy, well, Mike Johnson, but was more like a rock-solid Elisha who would tell the king of Israel that the only reason I'm even looking at you, the only reason I'm having any conversation with you at all is because I do have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat. Otherwise, quote, "I would not look toward thee nor see thee," end quote. 2 Kings 3:14. Now these guys, they want to shake hands with the devil. That's not what Elisha would do. It's not what Jesus would do. I'm up on my time. I'm going to have to jump off. Today's sanitized version of Christianity would not tolerate Jesus' mean tweets. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call me. Call 805-314-2114 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, or email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button. Send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. God help us deliver California from the mouth of the lion and the claw of the bear. And I'll see you in church. My dear friends, I encourage you, call Chris Gutierrez. Call the coach. Dial 805-202-2077. Dial 805-202-2077. And I'll see you in church.